listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed. Today, amen, we have a dual text, John 2 and 23, then 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. If you need a Bible, amen, we do have some Bibles for you, amen. Ushers, you may be seated, thank you. I am going to ask, amen, that we do keep the walking to a minimum this morning, amen. We want to make sure to honor God, amen. How many know it's important to honor God? Amen. We go into a courtroom and surely we honor a judge, amen, in the natural, but we want to honor our King today, amen. This is his sanctuary, amen. We indeed are the sanctuary, but we've come into his sanctuary today, amen. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 23, and 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, the scripture reads from the King James Version, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Everybody say the miracles which he did. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, it reads, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles." Amen. I want to minister this morning from the subject of miracles. Amen. Miracles. I don't intend to be long today, but I do want God to do what only he can do when the word of God is preached. And I do want to encourage you, amen, to not allow Christianity to be only a religion for you. Religion really does not have power. Religion is a act that we do. It is a tradition. It's ceremonial, amen. But it's not the same as having a relationship with Jesus. Amen. How many have a relationship? Anybody have a relationship? Anybody know Jesus? Amen. Somebody said one time, to know him is to love him. Amen. I'm not saying that scripture. Amen. But I have heard that said. Amen. So when you're looking at the difference between religion and relationship, it's like the difference between night and day. I don't want to have a relationship with God in the sense to where I pray because I have to pray. I read my Bible because I have to read it. I give because somebody told me to give. No, I want to do this because I have a passionate love affair with God. And today is celebrating Pentecost. We know that Pentecost was discussed in our Sunday school lesson. The word Pentecost is the Greek word meaning 50. It is 49 weeks or 50 days after the Feast of Passover. So you go from Passover to Pentecost. You go from the blood sacrifice of Christ into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You go from the cross, amen, to the church age. We are now in the church age, amen. So when you look here and we talk about miracles, this is a great season for miracles. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a great season. Yeah, but I want you to know that miracles don't just happen. Amen. Sister Vigoroma, miracles happen because we put our faith in the God of miracles. And if you think about it, everybody at some point, Lou Willis, has experienced some form of miracle. Amen. Many times we may not have known they were miracles, but sometimes we can think back and say, you know what? That was a miracle. God spared my life. That car could have came and killed me, but it didn't. Why? God worked a miracle. Amen. Or maybe you know somebody who's experienced the miracle and told you about it. Amen. Miracles are happening all the time. What is a miracle from the Bible's perspective? Well, there are two Greek words for miracle. One word is the word dunamis. We know that word. That's the word of power. Amen. But then the one that we're most accustomed to seeing in Scripture but not knowing the Greek word for it is the word seimion. Everybody say seimion. You know a little Greek. Amen, somebody. Seimion is a very powerful word because it talks about miracle in a different capacity. Now, it says seimion is the Greek word that means a sign, a mark, a token, or a prodigy. A sign, a mark, a token, or a prodigy. Number two, this is the one we're more familiar with. It's an unusual occurrence. Anybody ever had something happen in their life that was unusual? Sometimes we see more miracles, Deaconess Puckett, when we out there doing wrong. Y'all ain't going to talk. Amen, somebody. When you go do some crazy stuff, and I don't know about you, but I've done some crazy things in my life. I remember being in my first year in the military, and I wind up in the city of Bogalusa. Anybody ever heard of Bogalusa? Anybody ever been there? Okay, a little small town outside of New Orleans. Amen, somebody. But I'm in Bogalusa doing wrong. Amen. Now, I know I can get a witness. See how many have done wrong before? Oh, that's everybody. Amen. From the youngest to the old, we've done some wrong before. But I'm in Bogalusa looking to get into some sin. Amen, somebody. I had a friend from Bogalusa. We both in the Air Force together, and we end up in Bogalusa. And next thing you know, I'm down there up to no good, doing bad business. Amen. And some guys wanted to beat me up. Amen, somebody. Thank God for a miracle. Amen. Now, I was wrong doing wrong. Amen, somebody. But God worked a miracle. I can remember at the age of 16, I'm driving, and I'm about to have a car accident. Amen. And there's an oncoming car coming towards me, and I'm in my dad's new truck headed towards that car. And we had a head-on collision. Amen. But don't you know the Holy Spirit told me, because I didn't have on my seatbelt. Young people, you want to always wear your seatbelt. But I didn't have on my seatbelt, and the Holy Spirit, Sister Brownlee, told me just roll onto the floor. Now, this would be an odd instruction. But even at 16, something about his voice spoke, and I heard it roll onto the floor. When we came out of that car accident, both cars were completely total. The lady had some injury, but I was scratchless. I believe that was a miracle. Me and my wife just got married. I'm probably about 22 at this time. We had a little green Nissan Sentra. And we're driving, amen, I believe from Shreveport to Alexandria Way by I-49. We're doing about 80 miles an hour. And a truck comes in, just comes into our lane and pushes the little green, we call it the green apple, push the little green Sentra right down the street. 80 miles an hour. We didn't flip, we didn't turn, just ease and just stop. But I want you to know why the truck was pushing our car. I remember calling the name Jesus. And I said it strong. See, we got to know the word Jesus means Savior, Yeshua. Amen. It means Savior. So God worked a miracle. I want you to know today God is still working miracles. Sometimes we forget that he's a miracle worker because we get so used to living day by day. We get used to using our own power and our own strength, and we think that we're doing it. But I want you to know you ain't doing nothing. Amen, somebody. If it weren't for the grace of God, we couldn't do anything anyway. But my job today, I believe the Holy Spirit has inspired me to minister this message because he's saying you still need to believe in miracles. Because, see, sometimes you can live day to day. And in your day-to-day living, you're saying that's nothing new. That's nothing changing. You can get a spirit of what I call the humdrums. Anybody ever had the humdrum? Ain't nothing changing. It's just another day. And you're dying while you're living. But you have to realize there's a God of miracles. I don't care what the report is. I don't care what the situation is. If you could just wrap in your mind that God is a God of miracles, he'll work a miracle for you. We find in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 through 25, that Jesus performed, Sister Solomon, miracles. It says, and when Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's what you're hearing now, the good news of God's kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Somebody say, Jesus heals. He's still healing. Amen, somebody. I think you gave a testimony that he healed. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. He's still healing. The question is, do you believe that he is a valuable resource that can do the impossible? He's still healing today. I remember going into Mother Tardy's room, and, you know, I do some things that are pastoral, you know. People want to, you know, I visit folk and say, but really, I like to see God move, sis, because I know he can. I want you to know salvation is a miracle. See, when you were show enough dirty and you got clean, you know it's a miracle. Let me explain. In other words, when you know you were living a life not pleasing to God, but God come into your life, come into your heart, and does a work in you, and you still living that same way years later, you say, God, you worked a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. And many of us have experienced that. But here is Jesus. He's healing all manner of sickness. We're in Matthew 4, 23 through 25. And all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all of Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people. Brother Morrison, we've got a custom now to taking sick people to the hospital. I don't have any problem with that. I've been to the hospital. Thank God for medicine because of my lack of faith that time. How many know it's easier just to reach for the medicine cabinet than to say, Jesus, heal me? Because we got faith in what the medicine will do. Because we've seen it do it time and time again. But how many know every medication has set of side effects? How do I know that? Well, it gives you, you've seen the commercial. Amen. They turn the nice, beautiful music on and they say, it may cause vomiting and nausea, possibly death. While the music's playing. See, so you don't hear the side effects, but they're required to tell you. So it's treating symptoms, but not healing the problem. Jesus is a healer. Amen, somebody. We just have to begin to declare and to decree that he is the healer of our bodies. Amen. But we have to stay there long enough, sometime through the pain. You're my healer. You're my healer. You're my healer. Thank you for healing me. Enjoy visiting Mother Tardy. I believe Mother Tardy has a gift of faith. And she'll start off at one level, but, you know, see, I like it. Now, this sounds funny, but I like it when it get real bad. See, when it get real bad, I don't have to be, how can I put it? When a surgeon is at the operating table, he only has staff that he trusts. He's not just going to have any old nurse in there. He's going to have a nurse that's going to do like you say. He's going to have competent people in there. He's going to put the family and their emotions out. So when that person is on that table, he mean or she mean business. See, that's how I see ministry. So while I go into a hospital room, I'm really not there to comfort you and say the 23rd song and sing Kumbaya with you. I want to know, do you want to live or die? If you want to live, we're going to do warfare. And we're going to stay in faith. I don't want to hear nothing opposite or live, except healed. See, and when you tap into that and a person's faith is in that, they overcome. And then you have to keep people out of there that speaking unbelief. Oh, you know, I had an Aunt Susan. Aunt Susan died from this. Oh, you built doubt in them. You're going to be all right, baby. Baby, no. I want to hear you going to live and not die and declare the work of the Lord. I want to hear Jesus is my healer. And when you get him to talking like that, he can heal even psychiatric issues. But it's the world that have us to play pity-pat and patty cake with stuff. When the kingdom of God is within us. Read the word, son. His fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments. Don't you know if Satan had his way, he'd kill you? If he had his way, he'd kill me? Thank God for his grace. Satan's not playing. He desires to kill, steal, and destroy. Why? Because he already has a death sentence. Satan is already bound for the lake of fire with no escape. And don't you know he's trying to take as many people with him as he can? He wants to torment us. But thank God for Jesus. It says, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed by devils.